Well, good morning, Harmony Church. How are you this morning? You guys feeling okay? Yeah? I'm glad to see you this week. It's always just good to be back with family and just to be able to sing a couple of songs together and worship God together and kind of refocus our hearts. And so as we sing this morning, let's just remind our hearts to whom we're singing. I think sometimes, for me at least, sometimes I can get used to these songs, if that makes sense. And sometimes I can, like, go through the motions of the songs, but forget what I'm really saying and what it actually really means in relationship to God and myself and how I walk in this world, in this life. And so just to the best of your ability this morning, let's just really think about what we're singing. And let's just ask God to, I don't know, like, give us new insight into what we're singing and how that applies into our everyday life. And what does it look like to worship God in our everyday life? Beyond this song, beyond this moment, what does it look like to worship God with our life? And so as we do that this morning, if you could, would you stand up with me? Today I'm just on the keys. And I love this because it kind of takes away all of the other stuff, the flash. And it's just us, it's our voices, and we get to sing to God. So God, we just ask that in this moment you would help us to focus on you. God, we focus our attention on you because you're worthy of our attention. God, we just lay aside every weight that would distract us, that would hold us down, that would give us an excuse as to why in this moment we shouldn't be focused on you and you alone. We love the people that are standing around us, but this moment is dedicated to you. And so we focus that attention on you. Be in our praise.
Same, oh Lord, on earth.
is the kingdom doors, is the power yours, is the glory forever. Amen. Jesus, yours is the kingdom yours, is the power. Is the kingdom yours? Is the power yours? Is the glory forever? Amen. Oh. Stand before you in all of your majesty. I'm covered by your mercy. Your blood has made me free. Oh, yes, it is. So draw me to you. My heart on fire. I want to know you, yeah, for you're my one desire. And so I give you my worship and all of my past. My passion, God, I give you my whole heart, and all my devotion. Oh yeah, yeah. And grace never ended. Your hands, they carry me. Your body, it was broken for all the world to see. And my heart is held by love so unconditional. And you captivate me. You're the love. I give you my worship. love you, God. Oh, how I love you with my whole heart. Oh, how I love you, God. I love you, God. Oh, how I love you. Oh, oh, how I love you. And oh, how I love you. And so I give you my worship. I give you all of my passion. I won't hold back, God. I give you my whole entire heart and all my devotion. Oh, because I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. See, I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. And let your presence overtake my heart. Oh, God. See, I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake. You know, there's certain times in worship where there's this exchange of love. There's this exchange between heaven and earth. And I think that's such a beautiful thing. We have access not only to give our love and our devotion to God, but God is like sending so much love right now to you specifically. Like not just to the room, but to your heart specifically. And we have this moment where we can receive that love. And so right now, I just feel like, let's take a moment to actually open our hearts individually, outside of the collective. Open your heart to God's love. Feel the love of God for you specifically. Feel how proud the Father is of you. Feel the overwhelming love that God has for you. This love is so powerful. This love is so overwhelming that nothing can separate you from that love. There is nothing in this world, nothing in heaven or on earth that can separate you from this love. No height, no depth. Nothing in your past, nothing in the future, nothing will separate you from the love of God. So God, in this moment, we receive your love. We receive it all. God, we adore you. And we receive the fact that you actually adore us. God, as we continue to go on in this service, we just ask that you would continue to keep our hearts in this place, giving all of our love, giving all of our passion to you, and receiving all of your love and receiving all of your passion for us. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, you can have a seat, and we're so glad that you're here with us this morning. Thank you for joining us at Harmony. If we haven't met yet, my name is Jace, and I am so glad that you are worshiping with our faith community, whether you're here in person or joining us online or listening on the podcast. We are glad that you joined us because we believe that God loves you. And this month, we're talking specifically about love. And there are a few ways that we can love on our church community that I wanted to share with you this morning. First and foremost, if you are joining online, we have a QR code on your screen right now. We would love for you to take a moment to scan that code. Especially today, we're having some technical difficulties and not able to interact with you in the chat. So if you could scan that code, you can learn a lot more about what's happening at Harmony. And if it's your first time with us, you can fill out a quick 20 or 30 second form and we'll be able to get a little bit more information about you so that we can engage with you in the days to come. We also have some gathering opportunities that we're really excited to share with you, and you'll see some more info on the screen. The first is Dining Out with Harmony, which is coming up this week, where we can fellowship together over a meal. If you have questions, you can talk to Jason in the AV booth after the service. We also have next Sunday, Soul Food Sunday. We will not be here at Harmony. We won't be on campus. There will not be worship here at 10:30 next Sunday. But instead, we invite you to join us at our Hollywood campus, just over the hill, at 11 a.m., where we'll be worshiping with our Hollywood UMC family together. We also have a baby shower coming up. Yes, we're so excited for Tracy and Sarah and their growing family. So we invite you to join with us in celebrating them. And if you have questions about any of these opportunities or anything else that's going on here at Harmony, I invite you to contact me after the service or talk to any of our greeters. And if you're joining us online or on the podcast, you can email jace@hollywoodumc.org or mark@hollywoodumc.org. And we'll be happy to get you plugged in with all the right people and all of the right information. Now, this month, as I mentioned, we are talking about love. And while I'm excited about the opportunities that we have to love on one another, we're called to love outside of this room and outside of this community too. So as we go through the rest of today's service, I encourage you to think about and reflect on how you can love the Creator, how you can engage with God in a loving relationship. And after today's service, later today, throughout this week, think about how you can share God's love for you with others that you interact with throughout your week. Now, with that, I invite my friend Juan up, and Juan is going to share a moment with us where we can show some love to the children, and we're very excited because all of our children have been engaging with us online this month, but starting in March, they will be back. So, Juan, take it away. Sure.
Hi, everyone. This is Trixie. So when Jace asked me to do this, the children's moment, I was trying to figure out how I wanted to do it. And as you can see, since I'm very shy, I thought I would bring her. And one of the things I've learned is God loves you. God loves everyone. But he can't be everywhere it seems at every moment. And one of the things I've discovered over the last years is he was great enough to send these beautiful dogs. They come in different shapes, sizes, colors. They come with different personalities. And they're a great way to interact, not only with God, but with each other. And they're a great way to show love. So if you're blessed enough to have an animal in your life, just remember, this is unconditional love that you're seeing here. This is something that isn't going to judge you. This is something that isn't going to tell you that they don't like your outfit and they don't like how many selfies you have and you don't have enough likes, and they're not going to tell you that you're too chubby, too skinny, too tall. It doesn't matter. They just love you. So remember that, okay? Thank you.
Such a cute puppy. All dogs are puppies. I don't know. He's a puppy. I'm Shauna, if you haven't met me. Hello. Hi. I'm here to talk about a little thing we have in the back of the room. It's a small little box that's called the Joy Box. Woo! Here at Harmony, we don't pass around a plate. We don't pass around baskets and stare at you, make sure you put it in the basket. Because we don't do that here. We're all love here, all joy here. So the way that we do that here is we have that Joy Box. Woo! And we ask that if you would like to make a donation, that you can either put it in the box, you can scan to give, you can text to give, you can do the regular old mail to give. I don't call it snail mail, I just call it regular old mail to give. You can go online to give. So many ways to give. But what we do here is we ask that you give with joy. Woo! All right. Thank you so much.
A reading from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. The translation is from the Common English Bible. This is how we know love. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but refuses to help, how can the love of God dwell in a person like that? Little children, let's not love with words or speech, but with action and truth. This is how we will know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts in God's presence. Even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence in relationship to God. We receive whatever we ask from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. This is his commandment, that we love in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love each other as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments dwell in God, and God dwells in them. This is how we know that he dwells in us, because of the spirit he has given us. Hear what the spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen.
To the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature's unique in the soul that it sings. Exclaiming in. sun and give source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. See, none can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. Uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. See, you are amazing, God. Oh, incomparable, unchangeable. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. See, you are amazing, God.
If you're like me, you're probably a little bit over talking about love this month. It seems like every year, February is just 28 or 29 days of L-O-V-E, and that's all we can talk about, and there's nothing else. And it's just a full month of pink hearts and a dozen red roses and diamond rings and commercials for expensive gifts that we can give to one another. And there's nothing wrong with any of these things, is there? But there's something about this commercialized, watered-down version of love that just doesn't sit right with so many people, especially Christians. And I think the reason behind that is that God has given us such a strong and powerful call to love and placed such a strong emphasis on this powerful force of love that's in the universe that when we take it and water it down for something a little bit gimmicky, a little bit cheesy, like Valentine's Day, we realize we're not truly fully living into our calling. So today I want to dig into a passage from 1 John, and in this passage we're going to see what God has to reveal to us about what it means to love and the important things that we can focus on when we think about and talk about love. And it probably won't be a surprise to you, but this passage in the Bible does not mention diamond rings or flowers or chocolate hearts, but instead it focuses on the things that truly matter: people, God, and human life. See, today we're going to talk about how God has called us to love, and that's not always easy, but it's what we're here for. So let's jump into the passage that we just read from 1 John, and we'll pick up in verse 16. And the Bible says, "This is how we know love. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. But if someone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but refuses to help, how can the love of God dwell in a person like that? Little children, let's not love with words or speech, but with action and truth." See, in the first part of today's scripture passage, John explains that the ultimate example of love is Jesus. Jesus' life, Jesus' death, and Jesus' sacrifice for us. And he says that Jesus' death is the way by which we can know what love truly is. And it's not those little red hearts or the candies on Valentine's Day, but it's a sacrificial love. And it's a love that compels us to help others and to help others in need. John says, we are called to love others. But what does that look like? Well, John says that it's not words or speech. Those are easy. It's easy to talk about how I want to help you. It's easy to say what I want to do and how I want to love. But John says true love comes in action and in truth. And how often do we in our lives say that we want to help people in need? How often do we say we want to do something for others? But then how often do we actually do that? How often do we show others the love of God instead of just talking about it? Think about the homeless, orphans, seniors, Think about widows and widowers, the sick and the poor. So often I say, I want to do things that are going to help these people to know that God loves them. But when was the last time I took a meaningful step and physically actually showed someone that God loves them? But let's take that even a step further. We are called to love others. We're called to love those in need. But Jesus tells us there is more to it. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you." See, God's calling for us to love others goes beyond the people around us. It goes beyond people in need. And it goes to our enemies. Jesus says in this passage in Matthew that you are called to love the people that in your life it is hardest for you to love. We are called to love our enemies. And that concept may be easy for us to talk about, but that's something that's very hard to put into practice. Because you see, when we realize that we're called to love our enemies, we accept this calling to love all people. All people. God commands us to show love for racists, sexists, homophobes, conservatives and liberals, anti-vaxxers, everyone. And that's hard because if you've been hurt in your life by a person or a group of people, it's easy to write them off. It's easy to say, they showed me hate, I do not need to worry about them. It's easy for us to say that we don't need to show them love. But following Jesus' call to love is a challenging concept until we think about Jesus. Think about his life. Jesus was scorned and hated by religious leaders and teachers for his entire ministry. Jesus was lied to and lied about and betrayed by his best friends, his disciples. Jesus was literally tortured and killed by Roman and Jewish officials. But who did Jesus love? All of them. Who did Jesus forgive? All of them. Who did Jesus think of when he was hanging on the cross dying? All of them. Jesus extended his love to his enemies and calls us to do the same. See, Jesus' example of love shows that we as believers and as followers of God and as messengers of God's truth and love in this world cannot show hate even when hate is shown to us. We can't stir the pot when we feel like we've been wrong. We can't support an us versus them mentality that's so easy for us to fall into. And we can't lash out on social media just because we disagree with someone's opinion. We can't insult or use slurs against people even if that's exactly what they do to us, because we are called to love. And now we know that God does not want us putting ourselves in harm's way. We know that God doesn't want us engaging with extremists or hate groups who are going to put us in danger. But if there's someone in your life who has hurt or offended you, God calls you to show compassion, understanding, forgiveness, and love to that person. You know, I have a friend. And this friend of mine is gay, and he came out as a teenager to his family, and it did not go well. They were a hyper-religious family, and when he came out, he was essentially disowned. He was put out on his own as a minor with no resources, with no support, with no love, and with no one to take care of him in this world. And for almost 10 years, he lived his life betrayed by his family, hated by his family, with tension, with sorrow, and without love. But as the years went on, God started to change some minds, change some hearts. And his mother especially, because of her faith, came to the realization over a number of years that even if she didn't understand her son, even if her beliefs still didn't align with his, she understood that God's calling on her was to love her son. So she approached him and apologized and expressed her desire to enter a loving relationship as a family. And now after almost 10 years of being hated and betrayed by his entire family, my friend was left with a choice. do I accept her apology and enter into this relationship and work through the pain and sorrow that we've been living with for years? Or do I refuse? And the world would give him one very clear answer. No. You need to push her aside. You don't need to put yourself through that. You know, she abandoned you. You have every right to abandon her. The world would say she still doesn't accept who you love. You don't need to engage with her. But what would Jesus say? We just read in Matthew, Jesus says, love your enemy. And Jesus says we are called to love others. And it's not because Jesus wants us supporting wrong views or engaging with people who hate us, but it's because God made us. And God knows that the only way for us to heal broken relationships, the only way for us to engage with one another in meaningful and productive ways, the only way for us to relate as a family of humans that God created us to be, is to love. And so my friend chose to accept his mother's apology. And over a course of several years after that, they worked through a lot of what they'd gone through. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that everything is perfect with them, but she loved her son and started to change her mind and her heart about what she believed about him. And he loved his mother and accepted that she had changed and accepted her apology and extended forgiveness. And I will tell you, this is a relationship where I see God at work, because it's two people who don't agree, two people who have hurt one another, but because they choose to love each other, they are growing with each other and with God. We are called to love others. Now, in the next part of John's letter, he addresses another important topic of what it means to show love. Picking up in verse 19, the Bible says, this is how we will know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts in God's presence. Even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence in relationship to God. We receive whatever we ask from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. In what I would call the best film of 2021, Disney's Luca is the story of a sea monster. And he's a sea monster who finds himself in a world where he's a little bit of an outcast. See, Luca is a sea monster who wants to go live with the people above the water. And so his sea monster family and friends say, oh, this is a reckless daydreamer. He's going to put us in danger. He's going to put himself in danger. He can't go do this. They don't accept his desire to go be with the people. But then when Luca does build up some courage and makes his way up above the water into the human town, he's confronted with the same reality. Because the people on the land see his sea monster tendencies as strange. They see him as a little bit weird, and he feels like an outcast in their community. And Luca, who's now been betrayed, left out by two different communities, is faced with questions like, do I fit in anywhere? Do I have value? Am I worthy of friendship and affection and love? And this poor little sea monster is left with questioning his own identity and trying to figure out if he can even love himself. But Luca makes two friends. And while they are very different, and he is very different than his human friend, and he is very different from his sea monster bestie, he starts to realize through them that his identity and his value are not determined by what the people around him think of him, but instead by his own actions and his own heart, and he learns to love himself for who he is. And like Luca, we need to learn that we are called to love ourselves. We are called to love ourselves. And for many people, that can be very hard. Shame from the past and pain in the present and worry about what the future looks like. These can all lead to feelings of doubt and of worthlessness, and our hearts can be tempted to tell us that we're just broken, miserable, worthless human beings who aren't worthy of love. But John just told us in the scripture we just read that that simply isn't true. Because the Bible says even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. And the passage goes on to say that we as people have value and are deserving of God's love. And as someone myself who has struggled with depression and anxiety and doubt for most of my life, I know that just hearing someone say, "You're worthy, you are loved," doesn't make me feel much better. But if I can understand the why behind that, if someone can prove it to me and tell me why those statements are true, then I can be reassured in that belief. So, digging deep into the Bible, we look for the why. Why do we as people deserve love? Why do we have value? And we find this passage, or we find this reason throughout the Bible, but especially in Isaiah 43. In Isaiah 43, God speaks, and God reminds us why God chose to create humans. God said in Isaiah, "Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name and who I created for my glory, whom I have formed and made." See, God created you to bring glory to God. God created me to bring glory to God. That's why we're here. Our value as individuals comes from God, who created us to bring glory to God. And think about it. What does Jesus say is the most important command for people? To love God. See, we have the highest calling in the universe, the most important purpose anyone or anything can have, to show love to God and to bring God glory. And God loves you so much that God created you to do the most important thing that God called anyone to do. Don't you think that maybe you deserve a little love yourself too? Or think about another example. Jesus. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus live on this earth? Why did Jesus die a painful death on a cross? Because God loves you. And if God, the creator of the universe, someone with enough power to create billions of galaxies, loves you, don't you think you are worthy of loving yourself too? And now as humans, I know it can be hard for us to love ourselves, and it can also be tempting for us to go the other direction and think that we are worthy of love because we're just the best thing since sliced bread. But if we remember that our value and our worth comes from God, and we remember that God created us to love God, we know that our value comes from God, and we realize that we are also called to love God. Jumping back in at verse 23, 1 John 3 says, "This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love each other as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments dwell in God, and God dwells in them. This is how we know that he dwells in us, because of the Spirit that he has given us." John ends this passage with his third and final of three calls to love, and God's greatest commandment: love God. We are called to love God. And the third and final calling from this passage in 1 John does reflect our highest calling. We know that in his life, as we just discussed, Jesus gave two great commands. One was to love other people. We already talked about that. The second is to love God. But what does that look like? What does it look like for us to show love to God in this world? That can be a challenging concept. Well, let's look at examples. Examples like Annie Armstrong and Lottie Moon, two great missionaries who picked up their lives and moved to different parts of the world to teach, to heal, and to help others, all in the name of God. We can look at examples like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. or Mother Teresa, advocates for change and social justice, who knew that God loves all people. We can look at those who stood up throughout history in this country and in the world, people like the abolitionists among our founding fathers, who stood against slavery with the belief that all people hold value. We can look at the scientists of the late 20th century who went against cultural norms, who went against their colleagues to say that climate change is real and protect the planet that God has created for us. We can look at the late Princess Diana, who the anniversary of her passing just passed this week, who stood by orphans who had no one else, who engaged with gay men during the AIDS epidemic who no one else would even touch. This is what it looks like to love God. John clearly states that to love God means to do good, to keep God's commandments and show God's love to this world. And that is not an easy calling, is it? It's not easy, but it's our calling to be God's hands and feet, providing housing for the homeless. It's our calling to be God's eyes and ears, protecting the most innocent and vulnerable among us and put an end to modern day slavery and human trafficking. It is our calling to be God's mouth, speaking a message of truth and love to marginalized groups. It is our calling to denounce racism, which runs rampant in this country. It is our calling to stand against the false doctrine of homophobia, which reigns in the global church. And it is our calling to love others, love ourselves, and love God. So as we end our time together today, I'm going to challenge you to spend a few moments with God, to spend a few moments silently in prayer with your Creator, the Creator who loves you so much. And what I want you to ask God is to reveal to you how you can love better this week. See, maybe God is calling you to love someone in your life who it's hard to love. Maybe God is calling you to love yourself and to take care of yourself better than you are. Maybe God is calling you to go into this world and show love for God in radical and new ways. Friends, none of us is perfect. I have so many situations in my life where I need to love better. But I know that I am loved by the God who made me and made all of those around me. So my challenge to you is to ask God, how can I love? Ask God to show you new ways to love, however God calls you. Let's spend a few moments here in prayer. Today, show us how we can love. Show us how we can be your hands and feet in this world. God, show us who in our lives you want us to show your love to. Show us ways which we can love ourselves that reflect the ways that you love us. And God, show us how we can show you love by expressing love in this world. God, we are so very grateful for your love. You know, we talked at the beginning of this service about how cheesy love can seem. But God, we know that your love is powerful. We know that your love is great. And we know that it's more than just some silly concept we talk about in February, but that it is something that can change this world. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the example of your love that came in the form of Jesus. And God, as we leave this place today, show us how we can reflect that love that you give to us out to others. Thank you, God. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
So I give you my worship and all of my passion. Give you my whole heart and all my devotion, yes I do, and here I will bow down and soul. Take my heart. Oh, sing it out one time and say, I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. Oh, and I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. Oh, yeah, I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. Oh, Lord. So today, God, we thank you. We love you. God, we ask that you would give us opportunities this week to just love you in a practical and real way. In Jesus' name we pray.